Spooky season. Woo!
Tap and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I don't know why I'm overly enunciating. I'm the Tep, Greg Tupper.
And I'm the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. We love you very much. Or we don't, because you're watching this for free. That's not true. We just love you significantly less than the people.
You're not our favorite child.
No. We've got favorite children.
Mm-hmm. We play favorites over here.
All free.
We do. But we do appreciate you watching on Friday.
Actually, my favorites are the people who subscribe and still watch on Friday.
Correct.
Those are my favorites. Those.
Oh, yeah. The double dippers.
Yeah.
Call them the double dippers. Yeah. That's what we call them.
It's industry jargon.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of industry jargon, let's go over to the titan of industry, our producer, V&A Moreno. Hi, V&A.
Hi. Hey, guys. How's it going?
You may remember her from the cold open.
Yes.
This is a special day. Because this is your Week 10 preview edition of Tep and Step. Mm-hmm. We do thank you for spending a little bit of your day with us. Do you know what else today is, Matthew?
Is this an anniversary edition? Is it 150 episodes?
Today is episode 200.
Wow, 200. I said 150.
Wow, we should have gotten a little cake.
Brooke would have definitely gotten a cake if we'd have said
there's
something.
There's a reason I didn't tell Brooke.
She would have absolutely gotten a cake.
I don't want her to make a big deal out of this. But you're going to go tattle. I know you are, V&A.
Well, she watches the show.
I know.
For those who don't know, Brooke is the mom of The Office.
Yeah, Brooke's our team
She's
mom.
She's our office mom.
She's our team mom.
And we love her. We love
do.
Her very much.
But we do not
want a cake.
200 episodes, buddy.
Congrats.
Congrats to us.
Look at us, just two dorks just kind of holding hands on the beach, just talking high school football.
Yeah, sometimes there's only one set of footprints because that's when he carries me.
Yeah.
This is your Week 10 preview edition.
Could you imagine our feet in the beach? What a horrible visual that would be.
Coming up here.
V&A's face. She's just like completely.
Coming up here in just a moment, we will have your a recap. A wild and woolly recap of the best week of the Texas high school football season ever. Then we'll have our Week 10 game draft.
It's a good week. We're all downhill from Week 9.
That's an impossible bar.
But it's a good week.
It is a very good week. But we will start, Matthew, as we always do, with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week, presented by Community Coffee.
Mm-mm-mm.
Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at communitycoffee.com.
Mash that button on your computer and go visit communitycoffee.com.
There's actually Community Coffee in here, so I can't. It's like normally I do like the overly sip, but I can't do that today. Anyway, Matt Sip, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. I am getting geared up for one reason or another for the state championship games.
No, okay. You're gearing up for Water Polo State. That's this week.
I do. Water Polo State is this weekend.
Yeah.
But Matt Stepp, I was looking over the state championship record book this week.
Oh, China's leaving. Bye, China.
Bye, China.
Bye, China.
Bye, China.
Does she think she knows that every time she walks by, we say hi or bye?
And the other thing about China, 0% chance she listens to the show.
0%.
And I was looking at this. Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. What team holds the record for most total yardage in a UIL 11-man Texas high school football state championship game? The points record, you may remember, is Mart.
Yes.
When they hung 76 burger on Groover and had, as Kevin Hoffman called it, the best halftime ever.
That was a halftime that probably rocked.
I asked him, I think it was it like 56-0 at half? It was something like that.
They were up 50-plus.
They were up comfortably.
At halftime at the state championship
and game. I remember asking him, like, after, because I saw him, like, because they played Wednesday night, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that I saw him like Thursday, and I was like, hey, by the way, how was halftime? He's like, dude, it was like, what'd you do at halftime? He's like, dude, it was awesome. We just like talked about how we're going to win a state championship.
It's about the parade.
It was great. But who is the, what is the most total yardage? And I'll tell you, it's not Mart against Groover.
Okay. Let me go the Alito over Lamarck.
That's a good guess.
When Alito beat Lamarck, but clearly not the right answer.
Yeah, 200 episodes in, you know that when I say it's a good guess, you know that's not the guess.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Matt Stepp. The answer is a newly ranked team this week. Sulphur Springs.
Oh, against Dayton. I was at that game.
In 2008.
Yeah.
69-49.
Yeah. Alamo Dome.
And they hung 803 yards of total offense.
Tyreek Rawlison and you know who they beat in the semifinals. You were there. At Texas Stadium.
Was there?
You were there. You were covering it for the Dallas Morning News.
Who they beat?
You debuted the term truck stick that day.
Holy cow.
They beat Everman.
Oh, no. Was that like your first, like, this is an honest question. Was that like your first, like, exposure to me?
No, I think we covered a couple of games prior.
Okay. But yeah, We've been in the same press box together.
Yeah. But anyway,
back in 2008.
Yeah, it was a good game. Sulphur Springs beat Everman, I think 47-35. It was a good game. But Everman fell a little bit short. So.
That's right. That was Everman, Sulphur Springs. I did cover that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyreek Rawlison. Anyway,
he was good. By the way, he was very good.
I want to hear everyone's first exposures to Tepper.
I don't remember when my first exposure.
I don't
to Tepper.
Love that. Most I am as something actually. I think you know this from experience.
He's an acquired taste as well.
Thank you. I'm an acquired taste. Like, this is something you're like, most people look at me for the like get like experience me for the first time. They're like, ugh. And then, but then, you know, after a while, they're like, ah. He's not so bad. Still terrible.
He'll do.
Anyway, there's your
Texas. That's what my wife says about me.
There's your Texas football fun fact of the week. All right, Matthew. I don't even know how to, like, recap week. Okay, here's what I want to do then.
Okay.
I'm going to pull up on Texas Football Today, I do my top 10 Texas high school football games of the week.
Sure.
Each week.
Okay.
And I want to run through these.
Little quick hits,
and we will kind of react to all 10.
Okay.
Number 10 was El Campo and Bay City. I made the point on Texas Football Today, they're going to build a stinking statue for Robert Jones.
Big win. Got up big, held off El Campo late. Great win for Bay City. They are back as a contender in Region 4.
They really are. They really are. And it was like, it was vintage. Like Bay City in the sense of like the defense kind of like held on and made plays when
the difference is Alex Estrada, their senior quarterback, 3-year starter. They've got so much experience at that position. Mm-hmm. It's huge for them.
Number 9, Waco La Vega at Robinson.
Huge win for Don Hyde's ball club. Huge. That's
a perfect example.
That's their best win probably since they. I don't want to say since they won the state championship because they had some good wins after that, but they're officially like. A contender.
They're a contender now. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, I think people look at them because they have the 3 losses, right? But those losses are to Salina, West Orange Stark, and Stephenville. Okay? Those teams have a combined 2 losses.
Yeah, there's not a bad loss in that.
No. So. And they have a win, like, whenever Kennedale or whenever Brownwood.
Region 3 and 4AD2 is pretty wide open.
Pretty wide open.
So,
by the way, speaking of that district, speaking of a former team that we used to talk about a lot on this show, in the history of the show. Yeah,
tough year for China Spring.
Have you seen China Spring?
They're 1-7.
They're 1-7. They're going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, it's crazy. 1-7.
Anyway, all right. The number 8 game, Gilmer and Pleasant Grove. I sat here on this show and I said, if y'all F around and let Pleasant Grove win this game, y'all are in big trouble for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'm holding to it, man.
Yeah, huge win. The Hawks, the young Hawks, I need to call Coach Gibson and congratulate him on that win. Big win for them. I think that's a statement that they are ahead of schedule on their rebuild, or reload, I guess.
It just reminds me of the first time they did this, which was like 2016 through 2018, I think it was, or 2017.
Yeah, first or second year he was there when they switched to the wing tee and they got good late in the year and kind of got hot.
Like sophomore Ben Harmon came along and they were like, oh, wait, they beat West Orange Stark in that title game when they were big underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they threw a pass on the first play and everyone was like, is that allowed?
They threw for 300 yards that game.
I know. It's wild. Anyway, number 7, Goliad and Edna. This is the game that I think was flying most under the radar last week.
Edna's been really impressive this year. They've been, you know, the last 2 years they've gotten Franklin in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. This might be Jimmy Mitchell's best ball club.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Which is, it's crazy to say
that. They blew Bay City out. Like, let's not remember, they beat Bay City handily in non-district. It's a really good team.
And the thing is, what's crazy about that is that, like, Edna, from a star power perspective, is not as star-studded as they have been in the past.
No.
But they might be better this year.
Yeah.
Number 6 was Prosper and Allen. workmanlike victory from Allen. This is it's weird to say like a no frills Allen team, but that's what they are. They're just good.
Yeah, they don't have like the mega stars. They're just solid across the board. They're Lee Wiggins does a heck of a job there. They're going to be North Crowley's chief challenger in Region 1 in 6A D1.
They're just sound. Yeah. Like, they're just real rock solid. Yeah. You know what I mean? Number 5, Westlake and Lake Travis.
Westlake doing Westlake things, you know.
Defensive special teams.
Isn't it funny that now Westlake and Lake Travis are both defensive teams? Like they're so known for being these high-flying spread offenses, and now they're, like, grinded out defensive teams. Mm-hmm. It's the evolution of football.
They're the favorite in D2 Region 4, right? Westlake?
If they go D2, hold that thought.
Oh, here we go.
Hipster games.
Hipster games.
Just saying.
Number 4 on my list was Nederland and PNG. Not fluky.
No.
Nederland beat them.
Jeff Joseph lost a close game.
I know.
Yeah.
There were a lot of firsts on Friday night. And yeah, he lost a close game. And Nederland did what you have to do, which is they just kept swinging. They kept swinging. And Hubert Thomas felt like he got better as the game went on.
Warmed down a little bit.
Yeah.
This has got major implications in the bracket. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are on a high alert for PNG South Oak Cliff round 2 now. One of those teams, if form holds right now, the last 2 weeks of the record, basically Nederland's got to win one more game.
Yeah.
Nederland wins one more game, PNG's going to be the 2 seed. And we're get locked in sock PNG round 2. One of those teams will be home before Thanksgiving.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a state championship game each of the last 2 years. But, I mean, credit to Scott Rich and that program.
What a win for them.
What a turnaround. I mean, I just can't, like, guys, on the road in that game against that team to do that.
Yeah.
The computer had them 21-point underdogs. Yeah. And they went and did that. I mean, unbelievable. Panhandle and Sunray. Are you ready?
Armando freaking Lujan.
Are you ready? Are you ready to say it?
No.
Crab legs?
No, not crab legs.
Sorry, my bad.
Oh, Vina is ready for the Dudes Rock Dinner. She's already
the Dudes Rock Dinner. Oh, I mean, he's coming to the Dudes Rock Dinner. Yeah. With that zone. Sunray can win it all. I'm not ready to say they're going to.
Yeah.
They can, though.
I think they're definitely the favorite in Region 1. I think Stanford's going to be really tough in Region 2.
Stanford's really tough.
Yeah. But I think they're the favorite in Region 1, which is impressive considering they moved up divisions. Mm-hmm. But yeah. they're the team to beat in Region 1, 2A Division 1.
They're for real. And if they keep getting
Stanford's the favorite, but they're...
But, I mean, they're the chief challenger.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's funny because, like, it started off as a bit of, like, man, Arlo Armando Lujan does all these crazy numbers.
His sophomore year, you know, they were just the plucky team that won games 75-68.
Yeah, and they were fun. And we were like, man, look at this kid. And now you're just like,
now they're a machine.
I mean, dude, they have multi-score wins over Canadian, Panhandle, Abernathy, Childress, and Stratford. They're the kings of the Panhandle.
That's as impressive a 2A Division I resume as you'll see in the state.
It's unbelievable.
Very impressive.
Number 2, Columbus and Hitchcock.
What a game.
I mean,
I think pound for pound, that was the best game of the night, Friday night. Like, I know North Shore, obviously. Yeah. I think just from an entertainment value standpoint, that was the best game of the night. I mean, those two teams were throwing. Now, they took a chunk out of each other.
They did.
There are some key injuries on both sides that will have to be accounted for come playoff time. And, you know, we haven't gotten no confirmation yet. We've heard the rumors on injuries on both sides, but we haven't heard any updates on how bad it is. But it was as that fourth down play in overtime that Adam Schoble made was
unbelievable.
Just the most stupid play ever seen. And then Hitchcock doesn't flinch. They make the play on the 2 points. You know, a lot of teams, you know, you saw Wichita Falls Memorial and Lubbock Cooper. They got it, and Hitchcock made a play to hang on. What a game. Tremendous. I think Region 3 and 3A Division 1 is going to be an absolute slugfest with those two teams. Franklin, Palestine, Westwood. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going
to
be a bloodbath.
To me, what that did is that, like, for Columbus, it's like they bleed. They had looked as sure a pick to win 3A Division 1 as basically any team in any classification, maybe outside of Aledo.
Yeah.
But, like,
speaking of.
Aledo Richland did not make the list, guys.
That's how crazy it was a week.
We didn't expect it to. But I think 3A Division 1 is now so wide open there.
Right now, that's the bracket I'm looking forward to the most come playoff time. Yeah. I think that's going to be a fireworks factory across the board.
And number one, of course, Pearsall and San Antonio Memorial.
Congrats to Pearsall, the Mavericks.
Great win.
Yeah.
Anyway, the top game was North Shore and Test.
Somebody sends me Ben's Taco Stand, please. That's my spot in Pearsall. Ben's Taco Stand.
You're sick. North Shore and Itasca.
I've been to Pearsall. I've been to a game there.
You can just
if you're in Pearsall, Texas, I would love somebody to go to Ben's Taco Stand and bring me some tacos. Thank you.
North Shore.
Bring Tepper some, too.
Yeah, thank you. North Shore and Itasca, Cito. We were texting as we were putting together the rankings this weekend, and I told you I think there's a chance that those are the two best teams.
We had a heated debate in Slack about it.
Yeah.
We almost fought. Yeah.
I think there's a chance those are the two best teams in 6A.
I think Houston as a whole is deeper than it's ever been. I think those two teams are a huge reason why. I still got some concerns about North Shore. Offensively, they just look disjointed. But the defense is back to 2018 levels.
They were great. It is, and it's funny. Yeah, in the second half especially. They bowed up and they bowed their neck and came up with plays and held them in that game. Yeah.
Cardi Mack's so fun to watch, man.
Cardi Mack's so unbelievable for Atascocita. Torrey Blaylock was, let's call him, 75% in that game.
If that. But yeah, their backup running back looked just as good as Blaylock. Like, there was no drop-off.
I don't know. Like, when North Shore's offense was rolling, it was like, oh, like, you see it. You see how all the talent when it comes together.
Oh, yeah, it's shocking. Yeah,
it's, you're like, oh, wait, no, yeah, they're the best team in the state. They were... give credit to Atascocita. I think they made them inconsistent.
Their defensive game plan was really good. They played great at defense.
They did.
Yeah.
But North Shore just made plays when it mattered and, like, came up with the big plays. We're probably seeing it again.
I think there's a pretty good chance of that in the fourth round.
And it's a coin flip game then, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's 9 in a row for North Shore. So, yeah.
It's 9 in a row.
Can I tell you about a play? You know, there were so many great plays. You went over the Frisco Wakeland crazy ending.
Unbelievable against Lone Star.
Lubbock Cooper Wichita Falls Memorial game. I'd like to bring your attention. I think I slacked it to you, but I don't know if you had a chance to see it because you were, by the way, you're playing hurt today.
I am playing hurt.
You have this is a podcast that plays hurt, VNA.
Yeah.
Tepper has a broken toe because he was chasing his kid around. And then, you know, 2 years ago, I went to a high school football game one day after I got a vasectomy.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
we play hard. We play hurt.
This is a tough podcast here.
Hashtag toe strong.
Yes, yes.
Pray for my safety.
Yes. Yeah. You're fine. You're good. We just play hurt. That's all.
Yeah.
All right.
Courage.
So you talk.
The courage,
so
boys.
I sent you a Slack, but again, you were dealing with your broken toe. Uh-huh. Amarillo Atascosa nearly the courage boys. We're high school football heroes.
Yeah,
really. We are. You don't throw around the term hero, but I feel like we are. All right. So Abilene and Amarillo Atascosa played. Atascosa almost pulled the upset. Lost 31-29.
Okay.
Did you hear how they lost 31-29?
No.
Okay. Atascosa's up 27-25 with less than 30 seconds left in the game.
Okay.
They take an intentional safety.
Love it. I love... I'm on record. This is one of my favorite plays in football. When it's the smart play, taking the
safety.
And
it was a smart play. It was fourth down. They were way backed up. Instead of punting, risking a block, doing something, they take the intentional safety. Unfortunately, on the ensuing kickoff, they made the mistake of kicking it to UTEP commit Rylan Bradford.
Oh, no.
Who took it 70 yards to the house for the game-winning touchdown to win 31-29.
Oh, my God.
Yes. It's in your Slack DMs.
I will have to find that.
Yeah. That's as crushing a loss as you will see. Because you take the intentional safety. This is to ensure the win.
Brutal.
And
yeah.
Rylan Bradford, you know, the UTEP commit did the Rylan Bradford things. So
tough. Yeah. Anyway,
what a week of high. What a week.
It was such a good week. And again, like, it's one of those things, like, we've been hyping up week nine all year, basically.
And it delivered so
And it
hard.
Delivered in a big way.
Yeah.
Like, the next time we're going to hype up a week is probably, like, regional semifinal week.
It's December, yeah.
Like, December.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, hopefully it comes through the same way. Anyway, it is now time for our week 10 game draft. If this is your first episode of Tap and Step, welcome.
Hello.
I'm Greg. That's Matt. That's me and I. Alexia.
Vance.
Moreno,
our girl Vance. Yes.
If it's the first episode, here's how it works. Steph and I go back and forth selecting games we are most interested in. That is the phrase that pays. So last week, hypothetically, you could have chosen
Kyle Lehman versus Bastrop Cedar Creek.
Was that last week?
Oh, no, this week. Sorry.
What was last week?
Banchetti beat Monte Alto 33-13. Congrats to Banchetti.
The fighting Corbin Smiths. Yes.
Sorry, I thought you were asking for this week's game.
Or this week, you could choose.
Kyle Wayman versus Bastrop Cedar Creek, a battle of 0-8 teams.
And all you have to do is sell us on it. That's it. And yeah. It could be for whatever reason you're most interested in it. Step and I had a coin flip before the show. I won the coin flip. We'll go 5 rounds back and forth, selecting a game you're most interested in. Then we'll have the hipster game of the week, which is a game that's flying under the radar. Then we'll find out where Step's going. Then we'll see what V&A wrote down. And then we'll call it a show. Okay? Part right? Cool.
Let's go.
I had a coin flip before the show. I won the coin flip. So I get pick 1-1. And Matt Stapp, in a week that admittedly...
Not week nine.
Not week nine.
But I'm interested to see where you go.
But here's the funny thing. Not week nine, also not week eight. No, it's pretty darn good.
I'm really fascinated to work, because there's not a clear-cut number one pick.
There's not. There's a good upper crust, though. And I'm going to start 7 o'clock Friday night at Hornet Stadium in Corpus Christi.
Oh, yes.
In a matchup of unbeatens, one of two matchups of unbeatens in the state.
Both in Region 4, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Both in Region 4.
Yeah. Shout out Region 4 after dark.
As the District 15-5A Division 1 title is on the line, as the PSJA North Raiders visit the Corpus Christi Flower Bluff Hornets.
PPR. Pride Passion Raiders.
Absolutely right. Pride Passion Raiders.
Do you remember PPR, V&A?
I'll tell you when you're older.
Come on, V&A.
I'll tell you when you're older.
When I tell you after the show, you're like, oh, dang it. Pride Passion Raiders.
And this game rocks, and this is the product of the weirdo, not weirdo, but kind of the forced alignment of 15-581, where the UIL has to smush together the Valley and Corpus Christi.
Because there's only two Corpus Christi 581s.
Right.
Firebluff and Vets.
So they have to go south.
Correct.
And so in this iteration, PSJ North is on the road, making a 150-mile road trip. And spoiler for the picks, because I mentioned this in the picks video. I think people who are not familiar with South Texas think like, oh, Corpus to the Valley. Like, what's the big deal? No. No, this is the equivalent of like an Austin team playing in Houston.
Yeah, it's 2 hours.
It's a good road trip.
And if you're coming from the Valley to Corpus, before you get to Corpus, you got to go through a Border Patrol checkpoint.
Right.
Like there's a checkpoint you got to go through. Right. Like it's
a lot going
a drive.
On.
Yeah.
It's a haul. This is, for me, the premier strength on strength matchup of the weekend. Because when Flower Bluff has the ball, it is showcase showdown time, okay? Because you have Jaden Pelusio and Andre Mims and all the weapons that Flower Bluff has.
Cameron Dickerson. The Vanderbilt commit.
Yes.
They're loaded.
They've got dudes all over the field. They're the number 4 scoring offense in 5A Division 1 against a PSJA North defense that puts you in the sharpshooter and makes you tap out.
They will strike you.
They will. They are spectacular.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good defense.
The playmakers that they've got. I had the list.
No, offensively,
here.
They got Ethan Guerra, who's awesome.
Yeah, I want to get to that.
But he can play defense too if he needs to.
Ethan Guerra, the playmakers they've got, they are sensational defensively. I think it's Stephen Gomez, Stephen Garza.
So I've seen PSJ North in person, and your description of putting a team in the sharpshooter is accurate, because they put Corpus Christi Veterans Memorial in the sharpshooter when I saw them play.
Yes.
Just suffocated the life out of them. They didn't tap out. They literally tapped out.
Their defense is unbelievable. The number 3 scoring defense in 5A Division 1. But you're right. Let me use a Dallas Cowboys coaching term here. They play complementary football.
I'm talking about the Cowboys.
They play complementary football.
Don't ever say that again.
Because they run the stinking ball with Ethan Guerra. They are physical up front. They match up with you up front. They run the ball. They keep their defense fresh. Ethan Guerra's a workhorse, dude.
He is really good.
Dog.
Yeah. He's got that dog in him for sure.
But it's not like the Flower Bluff defense has been any slouch. Their defense has been very good as well. This game fascinates me to no end. I think PSJA North's style actually matches up fairly well against this high-flying Flower Bluff attack.
It takes their strength away.
I think you limit the number of possessions, you shorten the game here, and it plays into their strength. I think PSJA North's going to do it. I think they're going to go to Hornet Stadium and get a win.
Okay.
I think they're going to get a win. You do not agree.
No, I go Flower Bluff primarily because they're at home.
Yeah, and that's a huge advantage.
I think they're going to jump on PSJ North early, get up 14-0 quick, and kind of get PSJ. That first quarter is going to tell us a lot.
You're exactly right.
If Flower Bluff comes out, jumps on PSJ North quick, gets them out of what they like to do, then there you go. But mm-hmm. if PSJ North drags Flower Bluff into the mud pit and, you know, and says let's get dirty and let's get nasty, then that's going to be PSJ North.
I think you're exactly right. That first quarter, even if it's scoreless at the end of one,
that's advantage PSJ.
Absolutely, because they're shortening the game. Mm-hmm. So I'm fascinated by this one. PSJ North and Flower Bluff is box office stuff. It's my favorite game of the week. What is your first pick, Matthew?
I'm staying in 5A Division I as well.
Okay.
Thursday night, 7:00 at the Puff Field.
Ooh.
Live on TexanLive.com.
Mm-hmm.
8-1 College Station visits 7-1 Pflugerville Weiss. And a district title is not on the line because
A&M Consolidated has
wins over both teams. But a home playoff game is
absolutely
on the line. And that's big because first round, you got to go to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Big. College Station, both teams last week, easy wins, right? College Station, actually, Weiss didn't play last week. We'll talk about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. Both teams' last game is against Lockhart, barbecue capital of Texas.
Go to Croix.
I'm a Smitty's guy.
Where do we stop on the way?
I think Kreitz is where y'all went. But Smitty's on their best day is the most consistent.
Me and Powers.
Smitty's, yeah.
It's a great date.
It was a good day. College Station beats Lockhart 56-10. Cade Corcoran, the quarterback, set a school record. 6 touchdown passes for the Cougs last week.
That'll play.
That's 5 straight wins since they lost to Consol for the first time in school history. Weiss also has 5 straight wins since their loss to Consol.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the week off. They beat Lockhart 2 weeks ago, 42-0. And I think the key for Weiss has been Jackson Shad, their freshman quarterback. He has developed, you know, he had a really bad first half against A&M Consolidated in the loss. It was third game of the year. It was his third start of his career. He looked a little overwhelmed in that first half.
Who was the quarterback that was – who was supposed to be their quarterback?
Jax Morgan, I think.
Yeah.
He committed to, like, Arkansas State or something.
Yeah, and he got hurt.
He got hurt in the scrimmage. He got out for the year, and they had to put a freshman in. And
I think that news came down that he got hurt in the scrimmage, and we were like, well, that ruins an otherwise promising season for Weiss.
Yeah. Sorry, Vernon Hughes. Your team's not going to be very good this year. You're playing a freshman quarterback. Might not work out. Then you're going to take, like, some DB and put him at quarterback, and you're not going to be able to run your offense.
Yeah, you're going to end up running, like, basically
single wing.
Yeah, single wing.
Which, Vernon, if you know Vernon Hughes, not a single wing guy.
Correct.
Vernon Hughes is from the Steve Van Meter tree, which means they want to throw it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But Jackson Shad has come in and every week has gotten better and better and better. Well, he's got 8 starts under his belt. He's basically not a freshman anymore. Mm-hmm. He has seen it all. He's improved every week. He's got a great core of receivers led by Adrian Wilson, the Colorado commit, who's just a monster on the outside. But Weiss has got other dudes. They got playmakers. They got skill position players. They got dudes. This is the game that I think is going to tell us if Weiss is a contender in Region 3. Mm-hmm. Their fan base thinks they're a contender. Beat College Station at home on a Thursday night to secure a home playoff game, you have my attention.
Mm-hmm.
College Station state ranked. They've stayed state ranked after losing to Consol because they are, I mean, they're amongst the most, at this point, College Station High is like one of the most consistent programs around.
Absolutely.
They just, year in and year out, they're winning 12, 13 games. They're getting to the regional final.
They've done that with 2 different coaches.
Yes. And last year, they lost in the regional final to Smithson Valley. This is just a team that always, in the year before they're in a state championship game, they're always in the mix. At home, you've had 2 weeks to prepare. Coach Vernon Hughes, I know, has been working with Shad all these last 2 weeks, schooling him on everything that College Station does. This is your chance if you're Weiss. You win this game, you announce yourselves as one of the chief challengers to Consol in Region 3. It's not like Consol blew you out.
No.
At home. They lost by 6. This is the chance. I think at home, with 2 weeks to prepare, Weiss is going to do it. And College Station is going to finish 3rd in district, which is crazy. That just shows you how good that district is. But I'm going with Weiss. I think with 2 weeks to prepare at home, they get them. Thursday night game, big advantage. You know, College Station's on a short week.
Yeah.
Weiss has had 2 weeks to get ready for this game.
I love the receiver. Is Adrian Wilson? Is
the Colorado commit.
He's unbelievable. I got to go to the College Station. I got to go to the College Station, even on the road.
The proven commodity.
But I'll tell you what, I'm going to be locked in on Texas.
This is the game of the night and
yeah,
Thursday.
By the, yeah, by the way, if you're watching this on Friday, this is why you subscribe. You
oh,
this,
yeah.
This, you ought to have this.
Yeah, you can see if Steph's an idiot or not.
Yeah, exactly right. You guys can let us know in the comments whether or not Steph's an idiot.
Yes, please do.
One of us was right and one of us was wrong. Yeah. Let us know in the comments who nailed it. Anyway, there it is. Good pick, College Station and wife. My second pick, Matthew. Enough 5A. Let's think real school. Small school. 7 o'clock Friday night at W.L. Stevenson Sports Complex in Collinsville, America.
Oh, man.
It is a state-ranked showdown in the most, like, in a classification I have almost no feel for right now. Mm-hmm. In 2A Division 2, as the Munster Hornets take on the Collinsville Pirates. And an opportunity for us to maybe get a little bit more clarity on what 2A Division 2 looks like. Because right now, buddy, pick a name from a hat.
Yeah. It's the shrug classification. It's like, I don't know.
I mean, it could.
You could present about 12 teams. Like, yeah, I can win it. Yeah.
Like, Mart's number one. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel good about that, but, like, not great. Like, they're going to win their region.
True.
But, like, it's because they always win their region. But, like, they could absolutely lose to Shiner or Fall City. Shiner in the regional. Yeah. In the state semifinal.
And then you got region two is wide open.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Region one, pretty, you know, Stratford struggled a little bit.
Yeah, exactly right.
Could Groover do it? Like, it's, yeah.
It is. This is a region two showdown, and I think for the pole position in region two, as Munster takes on Collinsville. This is actually number one versus number two in the computer rankings.
Really?
Between these two. Yes. Okay. The computers love these two teams.
I've been impressed. Collinsville losing Logan Jenkins, you kind of thought they'd take a step back.
Nah. Guess what? They went out there. They went out back to the Jenkins tree, and they were like, oh, this sophomore looks pretty good. But Jackson Jenkins, their quarterback, has been really strong. The sophomore has been very good.
Garrett Patterson hoping the Jacksons continue to procreate.
And then on Munster, you got Cason Carney, the junior quarterback, coach's kid.
Yeah.
They're slinging it. He's been terrific.
Yeah.
And these two defenses have been very good as well. Now, Munster does have two losses on the year.
They're quote-unquote good losses.
Oh, they're
though, right?
they're very good
They're punching up.
Yeah, they were.
Memory serves.
Their losses are two. You're listening to live coverage.
They lose to Pottsboro?
I think that might be one.
Which is, that's a 2AD2 playing a 3AD1.
They lost to Holiday.
Which is 3AD2. That's two divisions up.
And they lost to Pottsboro.
Three divisions up.
And by the way, they lost to Holiday by 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a state ranked 3AD.
Yeah, state ranked team.
And they lost to Pottsboro by 5.
Yeah.
Okay. They have been in every single game. They've rolled past Lindsay, Era, and Santo. This is, needless to say, this is a District 8 2A Division 2 title.
Absolutely.
Game.
Yes.
I think this game comes down to two things. One, who can run the ball? Because we know the quarterbacks are going to be the stars of the show.
Great QB battle.
Nolan Peel for the running back for Munster versus Garrett Trevino, the running back for Collinsville. Which of those teams can have a better game? The other thing for me is that I think this is a real referendum on Collinsville. Because, respectfully, they do not have... Like, they are 8-0. Mm-hmm. I would make the argument to you that...
What's Munster, their best win?
Munster 6-2 is better than their 8-0. Because their
What's
best
Collinsville's
win...
Collinsville's best win?
Probably they won at Wolf City, 55-42.
That's a good win.
That's a good
Wolf
win.
Wolf City's good. Wolf City beat Timpson.
Maybe Cooper. They beat Cooper. Yeah. Cooper's not bad.
Yeah. They're not what they were, but they're still good.
And they have a win over. They went, have a win at Tioga in the opener.
Tioga and Wolf City are playing this week,
exactly.
By the way.
I think this is a referendum on Collinsville. This is by far their toughest game of the
agree.
Year.
Agree.
Munster punched up significantly and played some contenders.
Battle tested.
I think that wins out. I'm picking a lot of road teams this week. I don't like that. Mm. But I like Munster on the road. I think they're a little bit more battle tested. And I think that that big game experience, especially when you're dealing with teams that are primarily comprised of youngsters at key spots, I think Munster's a small favorite in this one. And I think that that's the team I'm going with.
I like it.
So I like Munster, and Collinsville is my second pick. What was your second pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock Friday night at Newton Field in Graham, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
State-ranked 4A Division II matchup as the undefeated Brock Eagles come to town, take on the 7-1 Graham Steers. It's number two versus number five in this week's rankings.
Listen,
and,
Graham or Brock has effed around in 4A, and we will find out.
Yeah, this is
the test.
Yes, they have some good wins. I mean, you know, Brock's average margin of victory is 38 points.
They're just drilling people.
They have a win over Decatur, which is a nice win. Decatur's not what they were.
They also, the other thing about Brock,
they beat Aubrey too pretty handily. Mm-hmm. That was a nice win.
The other thing about Brock, as good as they have been, and as consistently good as they have been, it's been a long time since they were 8-0.
Yeah, because they play such a tough non-district schedule.
They'd schedule it, they'd be 3, and they'd be like, we will play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week 1.
Yeah.
And we'll play, like, you know, the Canadian national team in week 2.
Shout out Canada. Mm-hmm. I'm going up there Saturday. We'll talk about that in a little while.
I know.
They put up an 80 burger last week on Burt Burnett. By the way, did you notice how many 80 and, like, there were a lot of lopsided scores last week?
You keep talking. I'm going to look up how many teams scored a lot of points.
I know Refurio scored 95.
They did.
Brody Woods had 109 yards and 3 touchdowns. Didn't play the second half of the game. They emptied the bench. Like, everybody got into the act for Brock. Mm-hmm. It was a total team effort over Burke Burnett, doing their thing. Their backup the backup QB threw 3 touchdown passes last week. Like, it was literally everyone. Graham had a little bit tougher test. They played Mineral Wells and passed that test with a relative ease, 37-0. Graham's defense. Graham has not ever been known as, like, a lockdown.
No.
You know, when Graham's really good, it's because their offense is cooking with Crisco. And they...
Yeah.
124... held Mineral Wells to 124 yards. By the way, Mineral Wells the last 2 weeks, 21-0 to Brock, 37-0 to Mineral Wells. You think Cody Worrell's like, can we just play somebody that's not state-ranked?
Correct. Please? Yeah.
They weren't. The offense did a good job. They weren't firing all cylinders, but they did enough, right? Ty Thompson, who has been there basically, you know, since 2010.
Yes.
Only had 80 yards passing, but he did run for 68 yards. And
he's our age.
Yeah, Ty Thompson has, like, 4 kids. He's driving a minivan. He's got a 401k. Like, he's got so much experience. He's been around forever.
Yeah.
You know, he's, like, giving investment advice to us. Like, he sent DM me the other day. He's like, hey, you need to get on these stocks. Like, just doing it all. He's been around forever.
Correct.
Rylan Monsey's the key for Graham. If they can get him going, he had 114 yards and 3 touchdowns. That gives Graham's offense that balance they need. I think Graham, this is the game they've been pointing to. This is the statement they can make that they say, hey, we're the contender in Region 1. It runs through us this year. I think at home, it's going to be a rowdy crowd. Full house is going to be expected at Newton Field in Graham. Beautiful stadium, by the way. That's a great, they host a ton of playoff games there. I just got this feeling Graham's going to get, just looking at things and just kind of analyzing it, I feel like this is Graham's year. I think the offensive balance. Brock's got Brody Woods, great quarterback matchup. I think Graham's got a little bit too many playmakers. Give me the Graham Steers. Their only loss is to Springtown. And Springtown's 7-1.
In honor of our 200th episode, we're just disagreeing a ton. Yeah. We're just an old married couple.
Yeah, it's basically what we are.
How cute.
There's two things here. I don't think your assessment of this game is wrong. I like Brock. I think that their ability, because I think you're right, like, the running game for them has got to get going, specifically Cody Farmer, their running back, and get him going.
It's Cody with a T.
Yeah, Cody Farmer.
Cody, yeah.
This is the number one and number two scoring defenses in 4A Division II. These two defenses have been lights out. I'll say this. I don't think you're wrong on your assessment. I think 21 points might win this game. I think points are going to be at a premium because these two defenses are going to knock heads. As good as and as eye-popping as the 80 burger is last week, the zero is what continues. Like, they keep doing this. Mm-hmm. The defenses have been fantastic. I think it's a low-scoring, points at a premium slugfest. I like Brock in a very narrow, like 21-17 or something like that. Like, very low.
And I've got Graham, basically. I think when I did a score prediction, I was 24-21.
Yeah, something like that. It's going to be a low-scoring stuff. It's going to be a one-play game, basically. It should be fantastic. By the way, to close the book on this, there have been this year 18 games in which a team has scored 80 or more points in a UIL 11-man game.
Mm-hmm.
Five of them happened last week.
Yeah, that's...
Refurio hung 95 on Freer. A&M Consolidated hung 86 on Bastrop-Cedar Creek. LBJ hung 85 on Northeast. New Diana hung 84 on Buffalo, and aforementioned Brock 80 burger.
Yeah, that's pretty significant.
5 out of 18 in 1 week.
In 9 weeks of high school
exactly,
football.
Right. Pretty good. All right. my third pick, Matthew. It's another podcast exclusive. Can you give me a pew, 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 pew? Thank you. 7 o'clock, Thursday night.
Ooh.
At Mercer Stadium in Sugar Land.
Ah, yes.
Scenic Mercer Stadium.
Beautiful Mercer Stadium, right across from the mall.
It's, and I, this is,
it
I
is.
Need
to, across
I,
the street from the mall.
I need to own, I need to own this.
I don't know what
this.
Mall it is, but it's a
I
mall.
I need to own this. Matt Stepp was the one who turned me onto this rivalry name. It's the Tollway Cup.
That's right. Hell yeah.
As Fort Bend Ridgepoint takes on Fort Bend Hightower.
It's a fun rivalry.
For the District 21 6A crown.
Let me tell you, there's a lot of tollways in Houston.
Yeah.
Bud, a lot of tollways.
And this is the Tollway Cup. And Hightower is a team that could lay...
Trophies is a road with potholes in it.
The Tollway Cup... Hightower...
It's not, but...
Hightower is the team that could lay claim to being the quietest 8-0 team in Texas.
Yeah.
Like, what they've done. And part... Even though, I would say they've got a couple of signature wins.
They have a couple of nice wins.
They have that overtime win over Port Arthur Memorial. That's a 5A, but still. Mm-hmm.
It's a good 5A.
They have a win over Spring Westfield in non-district.
Who's gotten it together.
Mm-hmm. They've gotten it together 6-2. And they beat Clear Falls in non-district. That's, those are three solid non-district wins.
Agree.
Now, they have spent the last month and a half bludgeoning kind of the also-rans of 21-6A.
Yeah, doing unspeakable things.
They've just been crushing people. Yeah. And it's easy to see... It's easy to like this team. I think they've got a lot of weapons. LaDamian McDowell at the running back spot is kind of the... I think he's the straw that stirs the drink. Mm-hmm. But they've got a quarterback that's pretty darn good who went off last week.
Yeah. The thing about Hightower for me is they graduated such a good senior class. And then the one guy they had coming back that they were counting on is JoJo Stewart. He transferred to Shadow Creek.
Yeah.
So we kind of dismissed Hightower as, oh, okay, they're going to really struggle this year. But yeah, Dontrell Fisher, Emmanuel is the quarterback. They got an LSU commit on defense, Cade Phillips, who is one of the top corners in the country.
That, to me, is the thing about Hightower. If you were to distill them down to one sentence, it's like maybe the fastest defense in Texas. Mm-hmm. Like, their defense flies.
They do.
Their defense is a track team. How do they handle a Ridgepoint team that has got dudes everywhere?
I've seen them in person. They are loaded.
Most notably at QB1. Buddy, I'm an Austin Carlisle guy.
He's
special.
Yeah.
I think Houston commit, right?
Yes.
They're getting a good one.
He's the rare combination of a gamer who's also super talented.
Yeah, he's like he's a technician and a gamer.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is crazy.
Yeah. He's mobile, he can throw it, and he's got no shortage of weapons around him.
No.
He's got dudes who can make plays.
Dane Jones on the outside, they've got playmakers. What is interesting about this game is that I do not know that... I think it's been... Well, probably for both teams, honestly. It's been a minute since they've played anybody in their weight class. So this is kind of a wake-up call for both of these teams.
For sure. You know, Ridgepoint, their last tough game was that Saturday night against Bridgeland when I was there and watched them handle Bridgeland pretty easily.
And certainly for Hightower, it has been 7 weeks since they played a team that...
These two are just clear, far and away the best teams of Fort Bend ISD.
So, and what's interesting for Hightower, I think this is probably the... Because for all, like, Port Arthur Memorial and Westfield and Clear Falls, I think Hightower still has better athletes than them. Like, more athletes. Ridgepoint, you can make an argument, this is the first time they will be looking at a team that can, arguably, out-athlete them.
Yes.
Or at least match up.
At least minimum match, yeah, for sure.
And 100%. So, how do they handle that? The other thing about this is, in this Tollway Cup...
Someone make that trophy, please. Bill Adam Hochfelder. Don't bill me.
Ridgepoint's won the last four. dating back to 2016. Yes.
Kind of had their number.
They've had their number. Mm-hmm. I think that continues, and I think that Austin Carlisle puts on a show like Ridgepoint in a good one, in a real nice Thursday
night affair. This is a fun rivalry. A lot of crazy things will happen. A couple of years ago, I went to this game, and Ridgepoint blocked a field goal for a touchdown, returned a kick for a touchdown to win the game. It's crazy.
It'll be a good game. Yep. So Ridgepoint and Hightower is my third pick. What is your third pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock Friday night at Kenny Deal Stadium in Melissa, Texas.
Mm. Oh, buddy.
As the 7-1, Greg Tepper, have you heard the news about the Walnut Grove Wildcats?
Who would have thought?
Fresh off just a little old win over a little old coach named Todd Dodge last week. It's Walnut Grove stuns Lovejoy.
Shocking.
Yes. Taking on a Melissa team that all of a sudden...
Buddy.
Melissa, I didn't think I would utter this phrase.
This district gives me hives.
Melissa is playing for their playoff lives this week.
This district, this is the second time in 3 weeks we're talking about this district. We talked about Emerson and when they played Lovejoy back in week 8. Mm-hmm. And this district has gone to hell in a handbasket.
Emerson, we had buried Emerson, and all Emerson did last week was, with their season on the line, knock off Melissa 38-35. Now Melissa's season is on the line, because let me tell you, a loss this week for Melissa,
and it might be Jover,
it basically eliminates them. Melissa is out of the playoffs because they will not have the tiebreaker against Emerson at that point. They're going to be drawn into a tie with Emerson, who has head-to-head on them. Walnut Grove last week got it done over Lovejoy with a freshman quarterback. Hayes Hackney introduced himself to the state of Texas. He threw for 358 and 3 touchdowns
last week. Hayes Hackney, what a name.
If you haven't heard the name, watch the tape. He is a baller, and he's just a freshman. So we're going to talk about that guy for 3 more years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Tommy Allison at coaching school said, hey, watch out for us. And you get a lot of coaches that come up to you at coaching school. They're undefeated. They're feeling good.
Oh, yeah.
Watch out for us, Steph. We're going to be a lot better than you think. And then they go 1-9. And I'm like, okay. Well,
thanks, coach.
Yeah, appreciate that. You. Him and the Humble Kingwood coaches were right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they also have a running back named Cam Newton. Not that Cam Newton.
Yes, that Cam Newton. It is that Cam Newton.
Yes, he has eligibility left. He's wearing his crazy hats and suits playing running back. No, it's Walnut Grove's Cam Newton. He had 210 yards and 3 touchdowns rushing for the Wildcats last week in their win over Lovejoy. And you got Melissa. Good game from Noah Schuback last week. He throws for 258 and 3 touchdowns. The concern for Melissa last week was the defense. Their defense, especially the defensive line, has been really good all year. That's been the strength of Melissa. When Melissa's rolling, they're playing good football in the trenches on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They got torched last week by DJ Shelton in the first go Emerson offense. They have got to be better this week because you do not want to get into a shootout with Walnut Grove.
No, you do not. No,
Walnut
no.
Grove's, that's what they want to do.
This is strange to say for a team in their first UIL varsity season.
Yeah.
Historically, bad idea to get into a shootout with Walnut Grove.
Because even when 7-1.
And even last year when they were playing that outlaw UIL varsity
they were
schedule.
Playing teams tough.
And they were hanging 40 points on good teams.
They
like
put 40 up on Gunner?
Yeah.
They put 30 on Gilmer?
Exactly. So, you don't want to do that. Don't get in a shootout with them. Bad idea.
Walnut Grove is basically in the playoff. They got 5 wins. They're basically in. Melissa's playing for their season here. I think desperate team at home. Mm. They're going to be totally locked in. They got punched last week by Emerson. They got stunned. They're going to be laser focused. I think the experience pays off. Melissa's been in these kind of games, playing in regional finals against South Oak Cliff. These kids know what to expect. They were disappointed last week. I think they'll come back this week, ready to go. I think at home they get the win, but it ain't going to be easy.
No.
It's going to be tough. And it would not shock me if Melissa lost this game and missed the playoffs, and that would just be crazy.
I think Melissa wins. I think you're right. I think this is a matter of incentives.
The most desperate team wins.
This is the most desperate. Emerson was the most desperate team.
Mm-hmm.
They won. Now Melissa's the most desperate team. I think they win. And they find a way.
Mm-hmm.
They find a way. I still think Emerson's going to be the odd team out. I think that loss to Walnut Grove's going to end up costing them.
I think if Melissa wins this game, then yeah, I think Emerson's out. Because at that point, you got Melissa at 5-2, Walnut Grove 5-2. Anna is probably going to be at 5-2 at that point, because Anna's only lost to Lovejoy and Melissa, mm-hmm. and you got Walnut Grove on the outside looking in.
So yeah, I think that's pretty good. Okay, Matt Stapp. Let's go to a district that is like one of my very favorite districts, but we don't just don't talk about a ton. And I think because some of the big games have been overlooked. Mm-hmm. Matt Stapp, 7 o'clock Friday night at historic, iconic Ratliff Stadium in Odessa.
Don't eat the hot dogs.
As the Odessa
press box hot dogs.
As the Odessa Permian Panthers welcome in the Wolforth Friendship Tigers. And let's call a spade here, okay?
Mm.
For Friendship, they are 3-0 in district play. Mm-hmm. If they beat, they already have a win over Midland. So they can clinch the district, the number one seed with a win here, because they would have a tie over everyone that can get them, right? So they can do that. More than that, a win here would inch them closer to their first outright district championship in 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
2014.
First one in 6A, I think.
Yeah.
I think 2014, they were still 5A.
Brad Davis was the head coach the last time they won a district championship. And winning the Little Southwest Conference for Friendship would mean a whole heck of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing that matters to them. And there's reason to believe they can do it, because Wolforth Friendship, again, has the extremely controversial opinion and the extremely controversial strategy of, what if we just score every time we touch the ball? What if our offense just, like, lights people up?
Yeah, seems like a good strategy to me.
They have got so many weapons offensively. The playmakers on the outside, Chase Campbell and Leighton Stone. I mean, they are just, and it's Holden Phillips, the quarterback, just slinging. And by the way, they can run the ball too.
Yeah.
Ethan DeLeon, this is a team that is averaging, you are listening to live coverage of me seeing how many points they're averaging.
Oh, it's a lot.
They're averaging 53 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, they're giving up 34. So they are ninth in the state, ninth in 6A in scoring offense, and 174th in scoring defense.
Yeah, could be better on defense. They're also scoring really fast.
Absolutely, they're scoring really fast.
Friendship games, I bet, per capita have more possessions than just about any team in the state. They play at such a fast pace.
And now it is time for a referendum on Permian, because everything was hunky-dory, and we were careening towards this being an even bigger game until last week, when they got rivalried. They got Midland legacied, and Rebs are back, baby, as a great man once said. They got bit by the rivalry bug, and it is a classic throw the record books out situation. They play Midland Legacy, and they get beat, and they kind of get beat badly.
Legacy got on early and just
jumped on them.
Just kept them at arm's
length. Stuff like that. Now, they scored plenty, and their offense has been very good, right? Guys like Gavin Black, their running back, has been great. I like their quarterback, Jacob Garcia. That was their first loss of the year, but it's a costly one. It's not just bragging rights. It's also, like, costs you an opportunity to potentially win the district championship. Well, if you had trouble with Legacy's offense, what in the heck are you going to do with Friendship's offense?
Yeah.
That's my concern here. You just gave up 49 to Legacy, and let me tell you something. I am pretty sure that Friendship's offense is better than Legacy's. Now, you get them at home. That is a long road trip. I like Friendship, though. I think they're just going to be able to outscore them. And they're just going to be able to just go punch for punch with them and outscore them. And if they, and for Friendship, they can inch closer to really what would be their first, like, Little Southwest Conference championship.
Correct.
You know what I mean? If they were to do that, and that would mean a lot. I like Friendship in this one. I think their offense comes up big, and I think this is pointsy. I'll say this. I think this is a shootout. And so don't be surprised if this game ends up like 63-55. But I like Friendship in this one. In a matchup in the Little Southwest Conference. What is your fourth pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock, Friday night in Texarkana as the 8-0 Jefferson Bulldogs take on the 7-1 Liberty ILO Leopards in a really big game in a really tough District 8-3A Division 1. These are the two best teams, but this district's tough.
Jefferson, another one of those teams that could lay claim to being the most under-the-radar 8-0 team in the state.
First-year head coach. Battle two really good first-year head coaches here. Ty Taylor at Jefferson, Brad Willard there at Liberty ILO. Been very impressive what they've done in a good district with Gladewater, Tatum, and Atlanta. How about Atlanta, by the way? It's a really nice win for the Rabbits.
Oh, yeah?
Or Tatum, 42-7. Just saying. Number one, Malakoff does lurk in Region 2, but I think the winner of this game takes the reins as the chief challenger to Malakoff come playoff time in the region.
At the very least, this district is very clearly the power nexus, and so the winner, I think you're right. Like, even just by virtue of winning that district, should be the chief challenger to Malakoff.
Both teams are coming off blowout wins last week as... Jefferson blows past Sabine, 74. What's Sabine? Like losing their quarterback right at the beginning of the season just killed
them. I know.
Jefferson beat Sabine 74-12. Liberty ILO beat White Oak 78-20. So a lot of 70 burgers at 8-3A last week. For Jefferson, their quarterback, Thymus Taylor, had a huge game. 5 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns. 4 players scored at least 2 touchdowns for Jefferson in the win, including their star running back Cameron Williams, the UNLV commit. He's got all the headlines, but Jefferson, I saw Jefferson in 7-on-7, and they were amongst the best looking teams getting off the 7-on-7 bus. There's not a bus for 7-on-7, by the way, but just get off on the hoof. They looked great. Sorry, V&A. I'll explain Ratliff Stadium hot dogs to you, too, by the way, at some point. She's just looking at me like, what is all this stuff you're talking about?
Yeah. This is us dragging V&A into the deep water.
Yes. Ratliff hot dogs, 7-on-7 bus. Yeah, just...
No life jacket.
Gary Joseph's loins. It's just all over the place, you know? So first-year head coach Ty Taylor has done an amazing job at Jefferson. They are living up to their potential, and I think they're a real threat. You got Liberty ILO. Brad Willard did a great job at Mount Vernon, goes to Tyler Legacy for a year, coordinates them for a year, gets them to the playoffs, does a great job. They're 7-1, and their one loss is to Carthage. Like, okay, you're a 3A, and you lost
Not
to Carthage.
Bad.
Not, you know, okay. Their quarterback, Tripp Basinger, threw for 443 yards and 8 touchdowns last week.
This dude.
He's put up monster numbers.
Is he a junior?
I don't know. He transferred in from his dad's coach, transferred in from Hooks, I believe. Just monster. He's got a wide receiver, Dequayne Prevost, one of the top recruits in the country at wide receiver. 4 catches, 208 yards, 4 touchdowns last week. Seems pretty good. This is going to be a shootout, Tepper. I think Jefferson's defense is the key in this game.
Okay.
I like the Bulldogs on the road. I think defense carries the day. I think they're going to get it. It's going to be high scoring. I could see it being 42-35, 45-41 kind of game, but in a key moment, give me the Jefferson defense to get a stop and get the win.
Basinger is a senior.
Okay.
I like Liberty ILO. We're just going to be on the other opposite ends of the lot.
Shows a lot. But I think games are a lot of good
again.
Games.
Yeah, I think these are competitive games. I like Liberty ILO. I like their offensive diversity and the multiple ways that they can beat you. And being at home, I think helps too. But fascinating game, Liberty ILO and Jefferson. Good game. Matt Stepp, we are going to close out my portion of the draft by giving you a Saturday game.
Really?
What? What, Tepper? Like, what are you even thinking here? Let's go. Let me make sure I get this right. Do. You're watching. Okay. 2 o'clock Saturday at Klein Memorial Stadium.
Oh yeah.
In Klein.
My favorite district in Texas.
It is the District 15-6A Gallimaufry. As
write that one down, Gallimaufry.
As the Tomball Cougars at 8-0.
Yeah, Dave Handles is
the only unranked undefeated team in 6A. Taking on the Klein Kane Hurricanes at 7-1, 5-1 in district. And it is time to have a dialogue about Tom Ball. Because Matt Stepp, I am here to report to you that Tom Ball, I'm upgrading a watch to a warning.
Oh, okay.
Tom Ball is back on their bullsh.
I have a point of contention here.
Okay.
Tom Ball's been on their bullsh when they go like 6-4. And then they get to the playoffs and make a run.
I can.
How will they handle?
I will contend
a great
to you,
regular season.
I will contend to you though. Matt Stepp, they are 8-0.
Mm-hmm. Very impressive.
Very impressive. They've got playmakers like Oswaldo Morales, their running back, who has been terrific for them.
They're also wearing black uniforms, which is weird. It's hard to get used to it.
Don't like that.
I'm used to Tom Ball being in white helmets, exactly. red jerseys,
red and white. Yeah. Exactly.
They're all black.
Great look. Great look. Red and white.
The black. Eh.
Matt Stepp, they have played 5 games. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4 games within one score.
Half their wins are one score wins. That's crazy.
And they have won every single one
That's
of them.
That's what Tom Ball does, man.
Okay.
They usually do it in the playoffs, not the regular
right.
season.
They yeah. win on the margins. Dave Handel's Ball Club wins on the margins. And they've done it in a big, big way. I would also contend to you, Matt Stepp, that this is the first time that they are a legit underdog in a game this year. They played Stratford in the opener, Houston Stratford. Houston Stratford's turned out to be okay.
Like 6-2.
Yeah. So I would say that this is a game where taking on a Kane team that's 7-1, they are probably, especially on the road, underdogs in this one. Kane is... They've got Zach Johnson, their quarterback, who went off last week in their win over Klein Collins. Maxwell Hendrick, their wide receiver, has been fantastic.
Had 4 touchdown catches last week.
They have been very, very strong. And I think the key for me is going to be, can Klein Kane pull away from Tom Ball? Because if this game is close... I know who's going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They have got to win this game. I think it is like Klein Kane by 10 or it's Tom Ball by 1. Like, there's really no in between here. Mm-hmm. I like Kane. I think at home, they're the favorite. And I also think that this is the highest powered weaponry that Tom Ball has faced this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be, I want to see how their defense handles that. But Tom Ball's back on their bullsh.
Yeah.
And it is time to start paying attention. If they go 9-0, they're going to win the district. Because they finish with, who do they play in the finish? They play Klein Forest.
They'll have clinched. They'll be 2 games clear of everyone.
Yeah, they'll win.
Other than Kane, who they have head-to-head on.
And they're going to go 10-0.
Yes.
So this is a huge game. I like Kane in a close, or I like Kane by about 10 points, or I like Tom Ball by exactly 1.
I like Kane as well, so okay. We agree.
All right. What is your 5th and final pick, Matthew?
Let me see what day this game is. Hang on. Live coverage of me looking up the day of a game. Because
day of a game. He's
prepared.
Looking up the day of a game.
Not prepared.
Where's the game going to be?
Is it Thursday, Friday, or Saturday?
We don't know.
7 o'clock. Mountain time. Friday night. At the Socorro Student Activities Center. The
Uno.
Original. The OG.
Or Uno or Dos?
Uno.
Uno.
The OG. As the 5-3 Eastlake Falcons take on the 5-3 Pebble Hills Spartans in the District 1-6A Championship out in the Sun City. I miss you already, El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it. As Eastlake last week to set up this matchup, got past Franklin 21-14, a very good El Paso Franklin team. Very tough, 21-14. Eastlake ran out to a 21-0 halftime lead behind 3 touchdown passes from QB Luke Lomely. Three touchdown passes in the first half, and their defense down the stretch got stops. Franklin rallied, got it to 7 points, but in key moments, Ruben Rodriguez's defense, they came through and stepped up, got the stops when they needed.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking on a surging Pebble Hills Ball Club. Pebble Hills started out the year, first-year head coach Ryan Warner. They lose 3 of their first 4 games. They play a pretty tough non-district schedule. They lose by 7 to Canutillo. They lose in a close one to a very good Midland High Ball Club.
Mm-hmm.
They go on the road to Albuquerque, lose to one of the best teams in New Mexico by, I think, 10 points in Rio Rancho, Cleveland. They start out 1-3. And people are like, oh, man, this Ryan Warner guy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know what he's doing. All they've done since then is win 4 in a row in district play. And it's been behind their running back, Zarian Quarles.
Mm-hmm.
They have gotten on the Zarian Quarles train and said, Take us to the promised land, Zarian. Mm-hmm. And he's done that. He's been outstanding. He had two touchdown runs last week in their 55-26 win over Socorro at number two, Socorro.
Sectos.
Yeah. And the sophomore quarterback, Joe Fernandez, has been great. He's getting better and better every week. He's a dual threat guy. He can move around, but throws a great deep ball. And they got a guy on defense, Dorian Jaramillo, their linebacker, all-state candidate, as productive as can be. He is the heart and soul of that defense. But in this matchup, I'm going with experience at quarterback. Loma Lee is a three-year starter for Eastlake. He's been in these big games, in these big moments. Joe Fernandez, just a sophomore, still figuring things out. I like Eastlake.
Okay.
I think the Falcons get it done, win the district championship. Both these teams are locked into their playoff positioning. Mm-hmm. Eastlake's going to go D1 one seed. Pebble Hills is the D2 one seed. So this is really just for bragging rights. Mm-hmm. Who's the best 6A team in El Paso? I think the best team in El Paso might be a 5A team this year. But in 6A, this is the matchup. These are the two best teams. I like Eastlake in a close one, but it's going to be fun.
Okay. Eastlake Pebble Hills is your final pick. So that wraps up our Week 10 draft. Let me write that down.
I appreciate y'all loving El Paso.
Listen, I love we are at El Paso. I'm strong with loving El Paso. On record and say.
What do you mean? I'm saying I appreciate.
Okay, El Paso rocks.
Yes, it does.
It is objectively a top three city in Texas.
Ooh. Love it. We're not gonna go rank the cities
in some order: Alpine, El Paso, and a third to be named later.
Oh, off season step.
All right, there's our week 8.
10 worst cities,
our,
go.
Our week 10 draft. Step took College Station, Pflugerville, Weiss, Brock, Graham, Melissa, Walnut Grove, Liberty, Ilo, Jefferson, and El Paso, Eastlake, El Paso, Pebble Hills. I took PSJ, North, Corpus Christi, Flower Bluff, Munster, Collinsville, Forpin, Ridgepoint, Forpin, Hightower, Friendship, and Permian, and Tomball and Klein King. Good wide swath this week.
It is. We covered the gamut.
There you go. It's now time for our hipster game of the week, where we select a game that is flying under your radar but shouldn't be. And here with his hipster game of the week is Matt Stapp. I have a hipster game
and I have a hipster district that I want to talk about. Okay. My hipster game is this week in Austin.
Okay.
As Austin Bowie takes on Austin High. And this is a classic hipster game. Two teams that are good teams.
This could have been like a preseason Week 10 draft
we
pick
knew this
for
was
hipster.
Gonna be happening. Yeah. And it's lined up. This is the Austin Westlake D1 or D2 Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Very simply here, these two teams are right now fighting for that fourth playoff spot in District 26-6A, mm-hmm. the Austin District. If Bowie wins, they get fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Westlake goes D2. Austin High, the Maroons win. They get the fourth spot. Westlake goes Division I.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, very clean. It's going to come down to this. We'll be watching it. It's not often we watch Austin Bowie and Austin High, nothing against those two programs, but this game has statewide implications mm-hmm. on Austin Westlake, who is a contender in either bracket.
Correct.
And so it's a matter of which direction they go. So that's the game to watch as far as individual hipster games. The hipster district is a bonus here. Mm-hmm. We're getting Week 10. We're bringing it all to you. You talked about it, District 15-6A.
Oh, my God.
I want to talk about the battle for the last two playoff spots.
Okay.
Because, folks, we are lining up potentially for a Week 11 coin flip for the two playoff spots. If things break right, we are going to have a coin flip for the two playoff spots. And what I mean by that is if...
I know what a coin flip is.
No. Well, what you need to watch for is Klein Collins, Klein Oak, and Klein High. Okay. If those three teams end up at 5-3, they all maxed out against each other. By max out, I mean the district has a cap on the point margin that mm-hmm. you can win by. They've all maxed out, so they're all at zero. So there's no way to break the tie at that point. The only way to break the tie is a coin flip. So you have a three-week, which we should broadcast it on Texan Live because we have Klein ISD. Pickle, where are you at? But a lot has to happen before that. Collins and Oak are both 4-3. They only have one game left.
Mm-hmm.
They're both pretty big favorites in their final game of the year. Collins plays Forest this week. They're going to be a big favorite over Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And then Oak next week. Oak's off this week. They close the season on Thursday with Tomball Memorial. They'll be favored over Tomball Memorial. Klein has two games left. They're 3-3 right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing Tomball Memorial this week. They'll be favored over Tomball Memorial. Not by much, but they'll be a favorite. The game to watch if they win that, week 11, Klein versus Magnolia. If Klein wins that game, and Klein wins out, Collins wins out, Oak wins out, they all go 5-3, we're flipping a coin for the final two playoff spots.
Hell yeah.
Keep an eye on that.
That rocks.
So I'm talking to Pickle. I'm going to find a way to broadcast on Texan Live a coin flip for the final two playoff spots.
Steph just cooked right there.
That's Steph cooking.
Just give me the kitchen.
Get in the kitchen. Yeah. Matt Stepp, my hipster game of the week. Should not be a hipster game of the week.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's the other unbeaten game, isn't it?
7:30 p.m. Friday night at Southwest Dragon Stadium in San Antonio.
Can I say this? Southwest Dragon Stadium might be the coolest stadium in the state that I've never been to.
Oh, well, you can fix it.
It's like down on a river bottom. Mm-hmm. They can't put turf on it because it's so flood prone. They can't turf it. It's way down in a pit.
As just like we all suspected, the District 14 5A Division 1 title is on the line.
Mm-hmm.
As the unbeaten San Antonio Southwest Dragons take on the undefeated San Antonio John Jay Mustangs.
Gary Gutierrez is doing it again. You know, Jay went 10-3 mm-hmm. last year in 6A.
They finished third in their district and then got hot in the playoffs.
Lost to Dripping Springs in a good game. Mm-hmm. But they graduated a ton.
They did.
But they dropped, so.
This game is for a district championship, and there's a lot on the line here in this district. Now these two are not just it's not just the teams with the best record, they are also the best teams. These are the best teams in this district.
They've been pretty dominant. Yeah.
It is a good story if Southwest wins. Southwest is been to the playoffs. They've been good, consistently pretty good under Alejandro Franco.
They may have had a 10-0 regular season at some point.
Yeah, they did.
Back in 2001?
In 2009, they went 10-0. They had 10-1.
Yeah, they went 10-1. Yeah.
Playoffs. But they've had good years. The story here is if Jay can pull it off. Now, Jay's still got to finish off the regular season next week against the team. They're favored over Southside. They'll be favored, pretty heavy favorites over Southside. Mm-hmm. Matt Stepp, Jay has not won an outright district championship since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
They have never had an unbeaten regular season.
Really? They've been around for a while.
1967.
This is not one of the newer San Antonio. They've been around for a little while.
If Jay can pull this off, and I think this is a one-score game.
Yeah.
Computers got it, I think, Southwest by four, and a mm-hmm. lot of that's just being at home.
Sure. You get 3 points at home.
This would be a monumental moment for Jay. I'm going with Southwest at home.
Really? Okay.
But
Jay.
But I'd love to see it.
I picked Jay in the preseason. I'm sticking with it.
I think Jay has got the juice. They can pull it off. Fabulous, fabulous game there. It's a game worthy of your attention. By the way, speaking of things that haven't happened very often, a shout out to the Fort Worth Pascal Panthers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The Pascal Panthers, if you didn't know, they clinched a playoff spot last week for the first time since 1995.
I was a freshman.
Is that right? 95. It was one of the longest playoff droughts in Texas high school football. Yeah. I mean, look, if you haven't been to the playoffs since the 90s,
mm-hmm.
So 95 last time Pascal. And I'll just tell you that there was a minute when I was in high school, Coppell was in the district with Pascal, mm-hmm. and they were just the punching bag.
Yeah.
I mean, it has been tough for the Panthers for a long time. So congratulations to Pascal. That is worth celebrating.
Sure.
Absolutely. Making the playoffs for them. So there you go. That is our hipster games of the week. Where are you going this week, Matthew?
Thursday night, I will be in Garland to watch Naaman Forest taking on Sachse. Naaman Forest, right? What's that?
Williams.
Oh, okay. Right in the Naaman Forest, led by Coach Jesse Perales, right in the middle of the playoff race. They are looking strong, but a win would...
You're continuing your El Paso trip, basically.
Basically, because Coach Perales
is an El Paso guy.
Just somebody bring me Chico's tacos. Taking on Sachse, who's the district leader right now, so it's a good Thursday night game there at Williams. And then Friday, the district 5-5A Division 1 title, maybe it's 6-5A, I think it's 5-5A, Division 1 title is on the line as the unbeaten West Mesquite Wranglers visit Standridge Stadium to take on the 7-1 Newman Smith Trojans. Beautiful Standridge Stadium.
I think West Mesquite's for real.
Yeah, I think so too. But I'm excited. I know Ish saw West Mesquite last week. I'm seeing it. So we're a West Mesquite heavy show right now. So,
by the way, I went to a game last week. I went to Wascom and
and how was Tyler? Oh, it's East Texas.
Spectacular, yeah, of course. And Big Sandy, cool stadium. Like, you know, they got great history there and stuff like that. Game did not go their way.
No,
Wascom was up 21-0 before they had an offensive snap.
That's
so
generally not good if you're the other team.
Right. I'll tell you this about Wascom.
They're fast.
They got some cats, dude. they got some dudes.
They generally do.
It was impressive, and it was good to see Wade Lawson out there coaching.
You know, West Mesquite. So you know how teams have like turnover chains and things like that. West Mesquite's got like a fur coat that they put on a player if he gets a he gets a turnover. It's like a. Ish took a picture of it. It's awesome. So I got in the Twitter comments and I said, I asked Coach Jackson and in the comments, I said, where does one find a coat of such style and class? So, yes. So
that rocks.
Yeah, they got bits. So
can you get a picture in it?
Oh, that's my goal.
Yes.
That is my goal. Hopefully he'll let me. Coach Jackson, if you're watching the show, can I please pregame get a picture in the coat?
Yes,
please.
That'd be great.
That'll be somebody's Slack for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, so that's my no game Saturday this week. It is Mrs. Stepp's birthday weekend. So I am flying to Canada Saturday, and we'll spend a few days up in Canada, which is going to set up.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. You're going to be back by Monday to do Tepp and Stepp, right?
No, because her birthday. No, we have dinner Monday night. We have a reservation Monday night.
What?
So I will not be. It will not be. It will be a stepless Tepp and Stepp next week.
V&A, did you know about this?
I did not know about this.
Yes.
Oh, well, what are we going to do?
Well, I'm calling in a backup. Calling in the room. I'm calling. Calling a relief pitcher. Breaking news, Ashley Pickle will be stepping in.
What?
To host Tepp and Stepp. It'll be Tepp and Pick next week.
Wow.
Yes. Ashley Pickle. It's going to be basically a WTF takeover. So, sorry. Thoughts and prayers to you.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Amazing.
All we need now is Mallory to come in and it'll be a complete. They'll just gang up on you. Wow. So, WTF. Yep. So
seems like it sucks.
So it will be a stepless week next week. Good luck. Okay. I hope.
We do 200 episodes, and he's just like, I'm done.
I'm out of here. 200 is enough. I've hit my limit. So hopefully Pickle does not take my job, but I know she'll do a great job. So.
She will be just fine. And it'll be a fun week 11 because it's like, you know.
Yeah, you could have 15-6A chaos to talk about. So, yeah.
Let's go to V&A Moreno to find out what she wrote down.
Oh, boy.
I was like, we were kind of halfway, and I was like, what am I? I don't feel like I'm not even writing anything down. And I was going back because I circle everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was circling way too many things now. First exposure to Tepper, to start off everything, hoping to procreate. Why did I write that down?
The Jenkins family.
The Jenkins family.
Yeah, yes.
Collinsville.
Who had the minivan with four kids and a 401k?
That was
Graham's quarterback,
yeah,
Ty Thompson.
Yeah, Ty Thompson.
Yeah.
That, exactly. I need to write that down. Okay. This district gives me hype.
Yes.
15-6A.
15-6A gives me hype.
The coin flip district.
Yeah. No. The Melissa.
Oh, Melissa gives you.
Melissa district. Yeah, that Melissa district gives me hype.
Yeah, sorry. 4-5A Division 2.
There should be a 7-on-7 bus.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Historically bad idea to get in a shootout with Walnut.
It is.
It is.
Don't eat hot dogs at the stadium. Which stadium is it?
Ratliff Stadium. So my first ever game ever at Ratliff Stadium.
Ratliff Stadium is where Odessa Permian plays.
For Friday Night Lights.
It's like Friday Night Lights. The stadium.
Okay.
I'm in the press box, and I'm like, this is Ratliff Stadium. It's awesome. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, a lot of places will bring you a meal in the from that kind of thing. And we were brought a bag of chili dogs from the concession stand that looked horrid.
Can I just tell you, that's also like a bad like container. Like it's a bad measure of
They were wrapped in foil, but like it was like just a grocery bag of hot dogs. And
grocery bag.
A sports writer who shall not be named. I don't even think he's a sports writer anymore, but the guy that was in there.
George.
No. Hinojosa was not. Hinojosa knows better. This guy, I don't know what he was thinking, but he saw free hot dogs, and I was like, eh. And by the third quarter, he had disappeared. So,
oh, no.
Just saying.
So, okay. Good to know.
Do not eat the press box. I'm sure the concession stand dogs are lovely, but the press box hot dogs, no thank you.
And that's going to do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell. Wait, you got one more?
No, wait. I added a note about myself.
Okay.
Well, let's go.
I said V&A loves El Paso love.
There you go.
There you go.
That's right. Yes. We can, you can count on us to talk about El Paso. You know,
count on
about
us.
That.
Yeah.
Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Thanks for your courage, Step.
Yeah, see you in 2 weeks.
We'll talk to you next week on Tep and Step.